Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sharon Brody. The defense has started presenting its case in the penalty phase of the Boston Marathon bombing trial. Attorneys for Zahar Tsarnaev are calling on the jury to impose a sentence of life in prison without parole instead of the death penalty. WBUR's Jack Lepiarz is covering the trial and joins us now from the federal courthouse in Boston. Jack, hello.
Hello, Sharon.
Jack, how did the defense team begin its presentation today before calling witnesses? What was the basic appeal to the jury?
Well, the defense is still trying to walk a fine line, and that is trying to describe Zahar Tsarnaev's crimes as inexcusable while still trying to offer not an excuse, they would say. They might want to say an explanation. Some would still call it an excuse, and that is that Tamerlan Tsarnaev was the lead actor in this situation. And David Bruck, who delivered the defense's opening statements today, reiterated a point that they made in closing arguments during the guilt phase, and that is, without Tamerlan Tsarnaev, there would have been no Boston Marathon bombing. So what they did is they focused on Tamerlan Tsarnaev. They talk about how he radicalized. They talk about how in Chechen culture, the eldest brother is second only to the father in terms of influence within the family. And on top of the point, and these are all points Bruck made in the opening statements, that both of Tsarnaev's parents had left for Russia in 2012, suddenly Tamerlan Tsarnaev, who's then 25, 26 years old, is the lead adult figure in Zahar Tsarnaev's life.
Jack, it's also a bit intriguing that the defense is echoing some of the public debate, the public sentiment about how life in prison could be seen as a more effective and even powerful punishment than death.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was the first time the defense has really made its case, I guess, for life in prison rather than the death penalty. And they echoed some of the things that the public has said, and that is that if you sentence Zahar Tsarnaev to the death penalty, you're going to have to go through more appeals. You're going to have to go through him getting more media attention, more fame. Whereas if you give him life in prison, suddenly this case goes away. There's not going to be any appeal. David Bruck said that in his opening statements. On top of that, he's essentially going to be forgotten by society. And more importantly, Bruck said, there will be no martyrdom, maybe even hinting that Zahar Tsarnaev may want the death penalty.
Now, today's early witnesses included some people from the Muslim community who knew Tamerlan Tsarnaev. So tell us about their testimony.
The members of the Muslim community in Cambridge included a guest imam at the mosque near the Tsarnaev apartment. The imam was a guest speaker twice at that mosque in Cambridge, and both times Tamerlan Tsarnaev got up and interrupted the service. And remember, this is the Friday service. This is the most sacred service of the week. And both times this imam was talking about Muslims taking part in American society, as simple as, you know, voting in the upcoming presidential election in 2012. And in that circumstance, Tamerlan stood up, interrupted, said this goes against Islamic teachings. The second time, the imam was comparing Muhammad to Martin Luther King Jr., saying that both worked through civic engagement, both faced adversity, both were able to work past that adversity to achieve a greater good. That was the imam's message, and Tamerlan took offense to that. He said, how can you compare the prophet Muhammad to a kafir, an infidel?
Jack, another witness today was Judith Russell. She's the mother of the widow of Tamerlan Tsarnaev, Catherine Russell. And this is the first time we've heard this extensively and publicly from someone in the Russell family. What did she say?
She talked a lot about how Catherine met Tamerlan Tsarnaev and how initially, even later, the family was very skeptical of Tamerlan Tsarnaev. She talked about how Tamerlan actually cheated on Catherine Russell, we later heard more than once, and that the family had encouraged Catherine not to get involved. But as Catherine continued dating Tamerlan, she eventually got pregnant, began reading about Islam, began wearing a head cover, a hijab. And the defense is using this as an example of Tamerlan Tsarnaev's influence, of his charm, of his ability to persuade people. Again, pointing to this idea that he was able to influence Zahar. He was able to not force, but persuade Zahar to take part in the marathon bombings.
Jack, thank you.
You're welcome.
WBUR's Jack Lepiarz from the federal courthouse in Boston.